Barnes in Washington. Wall Street right now, the Dow up slightly, about 5 points. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and we're going to be talking about a subject that I think many, many Christian people struggle with on a regular basis. That's the subject of emotions. You know, how do we handle our emotions? We hear many people, of course, talk about feelings. We hear many people say, well, feelings, really, we shouldn't be led by feelings at all. Maybe we shouldn't even have feelings. Some might even go to that extreme. And so emotions, and how the Christian should show his emotions, or should he have emotions, this is all part of a very important discussion that we're going to have on the Knowing the Truth radio program today. We're going to be talking about this within the guidelines of a new book that has just come out called Feelings and Faith, Cultivating Godly Emotions in the Christian Life. It's written by Brian Borgman, and Brian is the founding pastor of Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. He's going to be joining us here in just a second. Let me read a statement that's made. One of the endorsements in the book is written by a fellow who was just on the radio program with me just a week or, well, I think about almost 2 weeks ago now, but Tullian Trevigian, the pastor of New City Church, which, of course, is just combined with Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Florida. He was on talking about his book, Unfashionable, just recently, but he writes this about this book. He says, some Christians claim that the way we feel about God is far more important than how they think about God. But others say that feelings are altogether unreliable and unimportant. The truth is that God wants us to avoid both extremes. God wants his people to experience their relationship to him in how they both think and feel. True feelings inform true thoughts, just as true thoughts inform true feelings. In this excellent book, Brian Borgman shows that love for God is more than feelings, but nevertheless. Furthermore, he shows that there is a huge difference between emotionalism and God-centered emotions. If you have been looking for a clear, practical, and balanced book on the appropriate role of feeling in the Christian life, look no further than this book right here, Feelings and Faith. And so with that, let me go ahead and introduce our guest here today. Brian Borgman, as I said, is the founding pastor of Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. He's also the author of Feelings and Faith, put out by Crossway. That's www.crossway.org. Brian, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
I know that you're suffering there with a bit of a head cold, and hopefully, I would think that the Nevada weather would take care of something like that, but apparently not.
I wish, but it's not the case.
Now I'm confused whether or not if I can say that you are feeling under the weather or not, if that would be an unfaithful saying. So I'm not quite sure how to handle this. But I think your book really is a something that is extremely necessary in the place that we find ourselves today in Christendom as a whole, because you know, we've been, the charismatic movement has been well underway. There is certainly a lot of emotionalism that has been going on in the church. And then there's been some knee-jerk reactions maybe to some of that, and maybe a little bit of stoicism, and just saying, hey, you know what, we don't need to show any of this emotion. And if we do, we're almost afraid that we're going to be lumped in with the hyper-charismatic church or something. So there's no emotionalism shown in some circles. So we find these two extremes. I just briefly introduced those there. You do a much better job of it in the book. So if you would, just paint the picture for us of what the problem is that caused you to write this book.
Well, I think that Tullian in his endorsement hit the nail on the head, and you just touched on it, and that is, it's as if we fall off one side of the horse or the other. And it's on the one hand, the idea that our feelings are sovereign. We can't help the way we feel. Feelings dictate what we believe, how we behave. And then on the other side, there is a very strong reaction to that. And feelings are, you know, the caboose. If they come along, fine. Actually, it may be better if they, you know, if they're kind of left off. And really, we find ourselves in sort of a conundrum today, because we have all kinds of, you know, psychologized view of the emotions. Then we've got the Stoic Christianity, and then we've got the emotionalism and emotional-driven Christianity. And the Bible would not lead us down any of those paths. The Bible would lead us down a path of seeing that faith and feelings, or, you know, doctrine and devotion, are wed together and play a complementary role in the Christian's life.
It's we're talking about the fact that we've kind of come to a critical point in Christianity today where these two things seem to be at odds with one another. But, you know, really, as we look a little bit down through history, I did a number of broadcasts about John Calvin. The book included the title, in the title was included devotion as well as doctrine about John Calvin. When we look at Jonathan Edwards, we see him writing about religious affections. This is not a new subject, per se, then, in Christian thinking, is it?
No, and I'm thankful for that, because we can look back to our predecessors in the faith and see that they actually had, I would consider to be, a much more biblical perspective on what we are as human beings and the role that the affections or the emotions play. And so this isn't something new by any stretch, but it's certainly something that needs to be recovered, I think.
Mm-hmm. You do a good job of recovering that, obviously, here in the book. You give a couple of statements in the beginning where you just kind of give these case studies of people where we would see this struggle take place, even if they couldn't necessarily articulate as we are here today in theological terms. Let me read this opening one. You have maybe six or seven of these, I think, back to back here. But here's the opening one. She was angry. She was hurt. She was trying unsuccessfully not to cry, gripping the tissue with her hand like a child's security blanket. She said, "Pastor, you don't understand. You don't know how it feels. The thought of his being with that woman grips my mind like an iron claw, and it won't let go. I pray, I cry, I pray again. I do not want to think about it. I can't help it. The thoughts create a hurricane of emotions. By the time he gets home from work, I hate him all over again. I don't want him near me. I want him to die. I can't stand the way I feel," unquote. These types of scenarios that you lay out here in the book, which really just illustrate what we're talking about, are cases from a pastoral standpoint, both with you and I and pastoral ministry. These are the types of things we hear on a regular basis. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, in one sense, one of my motivations in preaching the sermon series a number of years ago, now it was 03 or 04, was I saw that in dealing with biblical counseling, at one level or another, you're always dealing with the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't escape it. And yet we often have a view of the Christian life that's so mental or so academic that we end up leaving that part out. And yet real life is not like that at all.
Mm-hmm. And so those two answers from those two perspectives that we were saying in the opening here were clashing. You know, one person on the Stoic Orthodox side might say, you know, you just need to not vent that way. Don't make those kinds of statements because it's not about your feelings. It's just all about faith. And then a person on the other side would say, well, you're completely justified in all of those things that you feel, and therefore just let it all out, and, you know, all of that is absolutely fine. We're going to talk in just a minute about, as we go through this, about what would be the proper response to something like this. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
This is Dr. Susan Stegall of Integrative Health Group. Of the adult patients who come to our health care facility, 50 to 70% have already been placed on prescriptions for nervousness, depression, lack of motivation, anxiety, and lack of sleep. Effects of antidepressants are limited and have unwanted side effects and risks. There is complete resolution through a natural approach that works on the underlying causes. Find out more about answers to your health concerns by joining me for my show, Healthy Alternatives, heard each Tuesday at 12:30.
Here's another academic tip from Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring.
The easiest way to teach math is money. In this day of credit cards, too few children handle real money. To teach your child the basics of adding and subtracting, just give a few coins at the checkout counter and say, "Buy me some gum, please." Our website is www.stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
More and more, people are deciding to secure their family's safety by applying for a South Carolina concealed weapons permit. Dryfire's class includes the NRA basic pistol course and state training requirements for a concealed carry permit. The class includes instruction from NRA-certified instructors, info on South Carolina gun laws, the written exam, and qualifying with a firearm on the outdoor range. Register for South Carolina's concealed weapons permit class by calling 608-1522 or log on to dry-fire.com.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're in the second segment, and we're talking about feelings and faith, cultivating godly emotions in the Christian life. It's a new book put out by Brian Borgman, and Brian is the pastor, the founding pastor at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. And we're going to go back to that discussion here in just a second. I just want to give you a couple quick program notes. One is on Thursday's broadcast. Dr. Russell Moore is scheduled to be with me. We're going to be talking about the subject of adoption. His new book, we've been anticipating this book coming out for a long period of time. It's also published by Crossway as well. But it's going to be coming out, and I've got a copy of it. And so we're going to be talking about being adopted for life. We only have Dr. Moore will be with us for a short period of time during the broadcast on Thursday, so I'll have some other guests as well with me talking about that subject, and so encourage you to listen in then. I want to let you know, too, that today I don't have my computer with me. It's being rebuilt at the moment, and so I don't have email or Twitter up and running, but you still can participate in the program via a toll-free number. And that number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. I want to let you know I do have some books to give away today. And so if you'd like a copy of this book, Feelings and Faith, just give us a call with your question or your comment about this subject, and we'll be happy to send a book right out to you. Let's go back to our discussion now that we left off with a case scenario, a woman whose husband had apparently committed adultery and sinned against her and against the Lord, and the woman was just verbalizing what she felt like. And we're going to kind of use that a little bit as our case study. It's one of the case studies that Brian Borgman lists in his book here. As we go through the discussion then about emotions, we'll go back to this case study and talk about what would be the proper response to dealing with this woman who is obviously experiencing, she's hurt, rightfully so, you know, and she is expressing these emotions. But how do we handle this? What do we say to her? Do we take the stoic approach and say, well, you shouldn't feel like that, you know, just have a stiff upper lip and, you know, you're acting in doubt and unbelief and you shouldn't be saying any of these things? Or do we tell her, you know, you've got a complete right to say all these things, just vent and say whatever comes to your mind, and, you know, that's completely understandable. So we need to understand how to deal with this, not only for our own sake, but also in speaking with many, many hurting people that we'll face in our life, ongoing in our life and ministry. So it's very, very important. With that, let's go back to our discussion with Brian Borgman. Brian, maybe we should start with a definition of what we mean by emotion. Maybe that would be a good place to start.
Yeah, it's a relatively complicated field in some ways. Matthew Elliott, in his book Faithful Feelings, has a pretty well-documented historical discussion. But I think that we can boil it down to the idea that the emotions are a basic part of what it means for us to be human beings, and those emotions help reflect our values, what we believe. They're, in a sense, they express themselves in as feelings, but they're, in a sense, more than just feelings. But they really, they express ultimately what's important to us, what we value, and so as a result, if you look at the situation with the woman that we're talking about, that visceral response of having the covenant of marriage broken, it's perfectly appropriate to have that kind of that emotional response, because she values her husband, she values that relationship, she values fidelity. And so on the one hand, we have to acknowledge that when we feel certain emotions, those are telling us something about ourselves and about what we think and about what we truly value.
And that's part of the definition that you put in the book here. You write this, of course, this for our listeners' sake. You put that the emotions are an inherent part of what it means to be a person. They express the values and evaluations of a person and influences motives and conduct. And then again, after that, you just say emotions were given in order to energize behavior and were intended by God to be a catalyst for action. And so in all of that, if I would just sum it up even more, emotions are not evil in and of themselves. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
And so they can be used in either a positive or a negative way, and that's what we're going to discuss. First of all, how are these emotions viewed biblically? You start in the book here, right in chapter 1, looking at the character of God, which you make the case for, and I totally agree with, is a wonderful place for us to start, because we need to see, you know, we're called to be imitators of God, so we need to see, is this something that we find in the God that we serve? Let's run to the phone line very quickly, and then after the caller's question or comment, we'll come back to this idea idea of fleshing out, you know, what we find in the character of God, and then after that in the living word and written word of God as well. We have Linda from Greenville is up first. Linda, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
Thank you. Two examples, but I'll start off with this, that God doeth all things well.
Mm-hmm.
He creates us, created the woman in a certain capacity. He created the man in a certain capacity. The man, of course, in the headship of the family. The woman with all the tenderness, all the much more emotional side, to kiss all the hurt places, to nurture, to do all those things. But the man has the leadership over all of that.
Mm-hmm.
The two examples I had, I went to a church service some years ago, and the speaker had become a he had had his first church, and went into the church, and his wife was treated badly.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, he never talked about that, but his wife was treated badly. And he came home one day, and she was packing her suitcase. Now, this was this man's first church, and I'm sure that rings a bell with you and with every man. Mm-hmm. This is his important thing in his life, his first church. He came home and she was packing her suitcase and she said, I can't stand it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I am hurt. They are rejecting me. And I'm going to leave. Well, he didn't say one word. Now, I was in the church service when I heard this whole thing, the pastor speaking. He went over to the closet, got his suitcase, and said, honey, if it's not good enough for you, it's not good enough for me. Packed the suitcase, they got in the car and left. Now, you know, the scripture says a man is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and lay down his life for her.
Mm-hmm.
I had a personal experience in my own family where my daughter-in-law was being treated badly by family members, and she told my son, now, I am not going back there again. That is so hurtful to me, I cannot stand it. If you want to go and visit the family members, you go, but I can't go anymore.
Mm.
And basically my son said the same thing.
Mm.
If it's not good enough for you, it's not good enough for me. And if a man only knew what that does, because he is putting her first and foremost, as the scripture says he should,
mm-hmm.
and to say, oh, well, don't worry about it, just get over it.
Right.
That doesn't make any difference. But he, in both of those circumstances, they laid down their lives for their wives as Christ laid down his life for us. And if a man knew what that did for a woman,
yeah,
the benefits, and I don't mean just sexual benefits, the trust, the benefits that come from that are just limitless.
Well, Lindy, you've introduced here a couple new case studies on, you know, that would take a little bit more probably to delve down into, but I get your point. I get your point that the man acknowledged that there was an emotional issue that was taking place here, and he took some steps to deal with it. I think that, you know, obviously in both of those cases, if we were to talk through and look at the case, you know, they may not have handled the case in the best way possibly that they could. There might have been other things that could have been done. But I think I get your point, just that he recognized that there was an emotional issue here and was willing to do something about it. Brian, would you agree with that, or would you like to comment further?
Well, I think the only thing that I would add is that, you know, the scripture tells us that God is near to the brokenhearted. And I think that when we do that for other people, it does kind of help them think more clearly and get through some of those emotional times.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Linda, or is that...
I think that's it.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. And again,
thank
Linda,
you.
If you will send me your email, I'm sorry, in an email, your mailing address, you can send it to Kevin. I think I talked to you before, and you said that you didn't have email, if I remember
right. I'm an old lady.
I'm sorry. That's the only way I can get it to you.
Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Linda. We got your phone number, and I'll give you a call and see if I can get your mailing address that way, and so I'll get you a copy of the book.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. Brian, sticking with the original analogy or case study that we had there in the beginning, we started down the track of looking then at the character of God. Let's talk a little bit about what do we find emotion-wise when we begin to examine the character of God in the Scriptures?
Well, this is one of those areas that, for me, a number of years ago, digging into Scripture just started to unfold in ways that I could never imagine. I, perhaps like you, you take your theology classes in seminary and basically, you're told that any time in Scripture where emotion is attributed to God, that it's somehow, anthropomorphic speech or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a figure of speech. And yet, from Genesis to Revelation, virtually the entire spectrum of emotion is attributed to God in one way or another, in one context or another. And God is seen to be rejoicing, he's seen to be singing, he's seen to grieve. And in fact, in keeping with that first case study, oftentimes in the prophets, he presents himself as a lover whose spouse has gone off and been with another man. And he expresses those emotions. And so when you start to realize that we're made in the image and likeness of God, then it would be quite natural if God is an emotional being. I don't mean purely emotional. He, of course, has mind and volition, but he has emotion. And so when he creates us, those emotions are going to be expressed in us. Now, of course, the difference is that God is perfectly holy in all of his emotions, and there's one thing we know for sure about ourselves, and that is that we're not.
That's true. Absolutely true. Let me just spell out that term for the folks listening. You mentioned the term anthropomorphic. For our listeners, if you're not familiar with that term, that's the idea that aspects about God's character are expressed in human terms. Of course, we know that God doesn't have body parts like we do, but yet we hear about the arm of the Lord being revealed that he can save, these types of things. And so that's just the Scripture putting these things in human terms so that we can understand them. And Brian was saying that is not what we see concerning the emotions. We'll talk more in a minute.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Speedy B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
With tail-thrashing dinosaurs, 5 state-of-the-art theaters, plus an incredible 160 exhibits, the Creation Museum presents a journey through history that will capture your imagination and appeal to your senses. Walk through the lush Garden of Eden and see exotic animals. Voyage with Noah on the Ark, or buckle into your planetarium seat and prepare for liftoff. Seats rumble and a cool mist rises in our special effects theater, and animatronic people converse with our guests. Come face to face with a monstrous moving sauropod and have your children settle up on our Triceratops. Browse through our Dragon Hall bookstore to find the latest in DVDs, reference books, and curricula. And our beautiful outdoor gardens lend a finishing touch to your museum experience. Located minutes from the Cincinnati airport, the Creation Museum provides 60,000 square feet of family fun. Prepare to believe.
Here's another academic tip from Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring.
We all spend too much time in the car, right? How about making the back seat a quick study hall? Jason, what's the capital of Utah? Kyla, what's 6 times 9? A few minutes here and there really add up, and short reviews are actually better than hours of study. Our website is www.stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. I want to remind you that I am giving away copies of the book that we're talking about today, Feelings and Faith, Cultivating Godly Emotions in the Christian Life. It's written by Brian Borgman, put out by Crossway. You can go out to www.crossway.org if you'd like to obtain a copy. But also giving away copies here today for your question and comment if you want to call in and discuss some of the things that we're talking about. Just before the break, we were talking about speaking about God in anthropomorphic terms. I want to let you know that if you want to kind of follow that subject a little bit more deeply, there's just a 2 or 3 page article that's written in the back of the book in the appendix. And it's called Divine Impassibility. That's the doctrine of the idea that God is without passions. Interesting terminology there. That's the way it appears in the Westminster Confession of Faith. But the subtitle to this article here is God really without passions? And Brian does a great job here, along with a guest that was just on with me last week, Dr. Bruce Ware. He refers to him quite a bit here about his writings of God's greater glory. And in those, in this article, then, Brian lays out the idea of what was meant by that statement in the Westminster Confession of Faith and in Reformed terminology about the divine impassibility of God. And he does a great job here of really of looking at that. And so if you want to, you know, kind of drill down a little bit more on that, more so than we'll be able to do in the radio program today, that would be a great resource for you to do that. So I encourage you to. Let's go back to our conversation, and let me remind you that you can call in 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535 in order to join the conversation. Brian, we were talking about the character of God specifically a moment ago, but I've got to try to speed things up here a little bit because I want to get to other areas of the book. You also point out, and if you could summarize it for us in Chapter 2, that this is also, this being the emotional aspect of our God, is also on display in the character of the living Word. This is the incarnate God, the second person of the Trinity, and in the written Word as well. Would you summarize that for us, please?
Sure. As far as the written Word goes, God communicates with us in a way that's not only designed to inform our minds, but also to move our hearts. And I would actually argue that one of the reasons why God uses narrative or story, true story for sure, but story, is because it engages the heart as well as informs the mind. And so God communicates with us to move us because of the role of the emotions. And then as far as the living Word, And this really is one of those areas that I delight in, because Jesus is the exact representation of the Father's nature. He could say, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Mm-hmm.
He's the image of the invisible God. But he is also perfect humanity. And so if we want to see what God is really like, we look at Jesus. If we want to see what God intended us to be like, we look to Jesus. And in the life of our Lord, he displays the full range of human emotion without sin. And so those two aspects of the written word and the living word, I think, underscore the importance of the emotions in the Christian life.
In that part one of the book, which is entitled A Biblical Theological Foundation for Understanding of the Emotions, of our emotions, you have the two chapters that we just discussed here a moment ago, but then you conclude that part one with a section that you call A Biblical Anthropology and the Emotions. And again, for our listeners, we're throwing around some bigger theological terms, but anthropology, just the study of man, what is man like? And you say here, this is your concluding chapter in this part one. You're saying, what does the Bible say about the constitution of man and his emotions? Would you give us a brief synopsis of what they would find there in that chapter of your book?
Sure. When we get to understanding man and human nature, we come to realize that man is made in the image and likeness of God, and therefore emotions are an inherent part of what it means for us to be human beings and divine image bearers. Most certainly sin has twisted and distorted our humanity, every part of us, including our emotions. But God is restoring us in regeneration and redemption. And as a result, he's not only working on on our minds, he's also working on our wills and our emotions. And so every part of us is under God's lordship, and he is working in us to bring us to that place where we are conformed to the image of Jesus.
Mm. In part two of the book, you then take that foundation that you laid in the opening about this is what we find in the scripture, this is what emotions looks like, and then you begin to talk about biblical sanctification in our emotions. In other words, sanctification being in a very simplistic form here, just for a working definition, talking about taking what the Bible teaches and applying it then to our life. And you start off with the idea of emotions and the authority of God's Word, how these two play together. We're saying, hey, emotions are not evil in and of themselves. We find these things in the Scriptures, but we have to consider our emotions and contrast them with what the Bible says to us, and the Bible trumps the emotions, not the other way around. And so expound that a little bit of what we find in part two of the book.
Well, Kevin, I think that probably this would be the most surprising part to many Christians, because I try to argue biblically that God does indeed command us to feel certain ways, not to feel other ways, and to have and display certain emotions. And if we just read our Bibles for half a minute, we'll come across something like rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Mm. God cares about how we feel, and he commands how we feel. Now there's an alignment that takes place. In other words, it's always the truth that comes first. It's the truth that is to impact the emotions. But the emotions are not to be void, not to be put to the side. But truth has the priority. Truth is the foundation. And God then tells us basically how we are to feel, how we're to respond emotionally to certain truth. And that's, I think that that's the biblical pattern.
Mm. Now, the equation there, if I'm understanding your book correctly, you're stating that we feel the way we feel, our emotions are being guided by what we value. And so if we learn to value the Word of God and the things that the Word of God tells us, this will then enable us to change the way that we respond and react to things, because our value system will be changed.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Yeah, not only the way that we value, but which is, and connected to that, the way that we think. And so our thinking and our values do indeed shape the way that we feel, and so we need to get those shaped by the Word of God.
Mm. So when somebody says, let's go back to our case study there in the beginning with the woman who is, we have said, rightfully upset about the fact that her husband has committed adultery, she can barely look at him, she's venting and saying all of these things. Based upon what we've said thus far, what would be your counsel to this woman who is speaking this way, sitting with you in the counseling room, she's venting this way? What would you say to her?
Well, assuming that her husband is repentant, which, of course, that's just a variable we'll throw in,
mm-hmm.
I would talk first of all about what's right about the way that she is feeling about this.
Mm-hmm.
I may even take her to some of the passages where God expresses similar frustration with his people and talk about mm-hmm. why she feels that way, and comes back down to the fact that she values fidelity and the love of her husband and the covenant, and that's been broken. But I would also then follow up by telling her that although there is something that is natively right about the way that you're feeling because of what's happened, it is not true that you cannot change the way that you feel. And it is not true that you're a victim now to the way that you feel. In other words, if one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control, then she is not just going to be a victim or subject to these feelings. So you evaluate what's right about it, but then you have to move on, in a sense, just like God does in redemption and so forth.
Mm-hmm. So if she doesn't do that, bitterness, resentment, if she only stops at the point of saying, well, this is a right reaction to what has happened, and see, even God acts this way when his people go after other gods and these types of things. We see the Lord react this way. But if she stops right there, it's going to lead to bitterness and resentment and hateful speech and hateful actions against her husband. And obviously, this is not what the Lord wants.
Absolutely. And so you would move to something like, and so what does God do with the sins of his people? You know, Hebrews 8:12, I will be merciful to their iniquities and their sins I will remember no more. And of course, as you know, as a pastor, a lot of people will retort, well, that's God. And the fact is that Scripture tells us that we are to forgive one another just as God in Christ has forgiven us. And so the power of valuing forgiveness and cherishing the forgiveness that God has extended to us, in turn, is now communicated and conveyed to the person who sinned against us.
Mm. You used a term when I described the situation again. The term was used in relation to whether or not the husband had actually repented, and you said it was a variable. I want to ask you about that when we come back, because I can almost hear the woman in the case study saying, well, he is not even sorry for what he's done, but that doesn't remove the responsibility to act the right way. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back from the break. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Everyone knows a family that's hurting from the influences of our increasingly godless American culture. Serving Hurting Families is a brand new program designed to help parents navigate the waters of the tumultuous preteen and teen years. Hi, my name is Trace Embry, the director of Shepherd's Hill Farm. Join me Thursday afternoons at 12:30 as we talk about the issues families struggle with today. Together, we'll look to the Bible for hope. Serving Hurting Families will also be heard on Saturday mornings at 11 here on Christian Talk 660. I look forward to talking with you.
Term life insurance It can be a powerful way to protect your assets and your family. You work hard to earn and save your money to build a nest egg for the future. Don't let it get wiped out because you didn't plan ahead. Take the time now and make a small investment in $500,000 or more in quality term life insurance. Call the Term Lifeline and let us shop the best companies to give you the lowest rates. We specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. Ask about some of our 10 and 20 year fixed rate plans with guaranteed rates. Call the Term Lifeline right now for your free insurance quote. 800-430-6722. 800-430-6722. You owe it to yourself to protect your family and your assets. Make term life insurance part of that plan. Call the Term Lifeline right now. 800-430-6722. 800-430-6722.
More and more people are deciding to secure their family's safety by applying for a South Carolina concealed weapons permit. Dry Fire's class includes the NRA basic pistol course and state training requirements for a concealed carry permit. The class includes instruction from NRA certified instructors, info on South Carolina gun laws, the written exam, and qualifying with a firearm on the outdoor range. Register for South Carolina's concealed weapons permit class by calling 608-1522 or log on to dry-fire.com.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into the last segment of the Knowing the Truth radio program today. That means we're under 10 minutes. So if you'd like to give a call and with a question or a comment on our topic today, and that topic is feelings and faith, cultivating godly emotions in the Christian life, you're certainly welcome to do so. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That equates to 1-888-660-9535. Be happy to get your call and get your question or comment on very quickly in the closing minutes of the broadcast. Brian, just before the break there, I kind of given away the answer, I think, to the situation, but if the man doesn't repent, if he, you know, he should, and he, if he's a believer, obviously that's the right thing for him to do. Even if he's not a believer, it's the right thing for him to do. But it's the right thing for him to do. But if he doesn't, the woman is not then given a pass, or the focusing on the woman because this is what the case study was, but the spouse is not given a pass then still to just act upon their emotions only. They must bring to bear the word of God. Is that correct?
Absolutely. The thing that's affected by an unrepentant spouse, of course, is the issue of reconciliation, but the unrepentant spouse is never cause for the other party to harbor bitterness and give in to really other sinful manifestations of emotions.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe a good analogy that people would understand, especially the people in our listening audience, is when we make the case for abortion. You know, abortion is murder, no matter how you look at it. It's taking the life of the child. And so when we talk about rare cases of incest or rape or these types of things, you know, the fact that something wrong was done then doesn't remove the fact that the act of abortion would be the taking of innocent human life, if I could use that term innocent there, but innocent human life. That might be a good example that people would understand that even though another wrong was done, it doesn't give us the right then to override what we know is right from the Word of God. Is that a fair analogy?
Yeah, and I think it is, and I think that it's an important one because we live in a culture of rights where we think that we have certain inherent rights to either be angry, to vent, to be bitter, mm-hmm. and again, coming back to the authority of God's Word, no, we don't. Mm-hmm. Our emotions are to be under the authority of the Word.
You know, speaking of that abortion thing, Barack Obama speaking the other day at Notre Dame, and listened to a little bit of that speech, and you know, all of those emotions that you just talked about come to my mind when I hear anger at just the and frustration with the people of the country, and with the folks there at Notre Dame who gave them that type of a platform to be able to speak that way. There, you know, but we can't act upon that that anger, that initial anger, if you will, that comes to our mind. We have to then go back and bring everything back to the touchstone of scriptures and respond in a Christian manner to these things. Would that be another fair analogy, taking it outside the realm of marriage and a broken relationship, even into other societal things that we see?
Yeah, I think it is a good analogy, and it also is probably worth pointing out that if you are a Christian and you value human life, it is actually wrong not to be angry mm-hmm. at the injustice of abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's something that's good about it. Now, that anger doesn't get vented by going out and committing sin,
mm-hmm.
but it does motivate conduct for justice for the unborn.
Amen. So the idea of being angry but sin not, the idea that we are obviously emotionally disturbed by what is taking place, and if we weren't, then we'd be less than human. But we shouldn't act upon that, and that's where the real problem is in the church today, that becomes the motivation to do exclusively the motivation to do our follow-up actions afterwards, rather than being guided by the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me ask you if you would do something for us in the closing minutes here. Normally, I would try to summarize why this book is so important for people to read. And let me just mention the folks here. We didn't get a chance to cover all of these different areas here. We talked a little bit about sinful anger and a little bit about unforgiveness and bitterness. But there's also fear, anxiety, and worry, and even depression spoken about in this book as well, and how we should mortify these ungodly emotions that come into our life. And then there's a whole section that deals with this idea of cultivating godly emotions. There's a way to do this, that we can renew our minds so that we react in a much more biblical way. And then Brian has even selected a number of different areas, like emotions and worship. How do our emotions play into that area? Or emotions and preaching. There's a great subject, especially for students of preaching, for preachers in general. What should be the general tenor of our preaching? Now, what role should emotions play in that? And then a number of other areas that he writes about here. So I strongly encourage you to get this book. I think it'll come into play in a number of different areas of your life. But Brian, let me let you have the final word on just addressing the listening audience and saying to them why it is so important that they should read this book that you've written.
Well, I would say to our listening audience that your emotions play a very big role in your life every single day. And the Bible is not silent about that part of your life. And in fact, it has a whole lot to say about it. And we need to be in dead earnest in learning about what God has to teach us. And we are not at the mercy of our emotions. God has given us everything we need to put to death those sinful manifestations and also to cultivate godly emotions that really will increasingly reflect the image of Christ in us. And so don't neglect this very important part of how God has made you.
Amen. And he has given us all the tools that we need for life and godliness in the Word of God and the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, of course. And so we can do this through his strength. We can do this in our life. We can't expect. In fact, I would even go further and say that our ability to do this through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God is the display of the glory of God in our life and in our homes. Would you agree with that?
Amen. I'd give a hearty amen to that.
In fact, just this past Saturday, I was speaking to a group of men at a men's breakfast, and I was standing in the church foyer where the meeting was held, and I said that the demonstration of the glory of God and the life of his people in many, and maybe in all cases, does not take place in great, beautiful buildings like this. It takes place in buildings we call homes.
Mm.
And I think that I really believe that. And if we will apply the Word of God, we'll see this great demonstration of the glory of God in our lives and in our families. And I think this is what the world really needs.
Mm. Amen.
Brian, thank you very much for being with us on the program today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin.
We've been talking about feelings and faith, cultivating godly emotions in the Christian life with Brian Borgman. Again, if you'd like a copy of this book, you can go out to Crossway, and that's www.crossway.org. You can go out there and find a copy of this book, as well as many, many other good books published by the good folks there at Crossway. So I invite you to do that. Remember, join us on Thursday. Dr. Russell Moore will be my guest. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.